But first, Frankie Quinones.
Nobody here appreciates how funny I am. These fools have no sense of humor. You know, I bet some of them don't even think a fart is funny.
Why do you feel the need to be funny all the time?
I mean, I don't know. I've always been funny since I was a kid. You know, I have the gift of humor. You know, my father was funny, so am I. You know, it's DNA.
So your father encouraged your sense of humor?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, we watch Cantinflas, Anchorman, Friday, but most importantly, we watch Austin Powers.
It's nice to have that connection with your father.
Yeah, yeah, well, I did, you know, before he passed away. But now I like to think that fool's up in heaven, shagging. Yeah, baby.
Frankie is a comedian currently starring in the Hulu comedy series, This Fool. It's a very funny and very realistic portrayal of working-class Latinos living in South Central Los Angeles. The show's creator, Chris Estrada, plays Julio, and Frankie plays his ex-con cousin, Luis. There's an odd couple dynamic between Julio and Luis which generates much of the show's comedy. This raises the question, can an ex-con live in his cousin's home without the two of them driving each other crazy? If you spend a lot of time on YouTube, you may already be familiar with Frankie's colorful characters, such as Juanita Carmelita and the creator of Cholo Fit, Creeper. These videos have millions of views. Frankie is also a veteran stand-up comedian and podcast host. He says that comedy and a desire to make people laugh have been a part of his DNA since childhood.
You know, I found a sprinkler head in my dad's truck and I just pretended it was a microphone. I started performing for my family in the living room. But you know, my mom and dad like religiously watched stand-up and comedy, and they always had stand-up on in the house even when I was a kid. You know, they would just tell me to cover my ears and the bad parts. You know, they had everything on: George Carlin, Richard Pryor, Paul Rodriguez, Eddie Murphy, you know, Louis Anderson. I just remember watching all those people growing up, and it was just inspiring for me to see how it helped my mom and dad through tough times and how powerful humor was. And I just started, performing for them in the living room, and I just kind of never stopped. You know, I got in a lot of trouble messing around in the classroom, but I was just always trying to do something to make people laugh.
Yeah. Yeah. And you mentioned you used a sprinkler head as a microphone. And I've read that beyond that, you also dressed in your mom's clothes. Is that true?
Yeah. I was like, yeah, whatever I could find. My dad's clothes, my mom's clothes. Like, you know, I got some of my sister's stuff, like anything I could find around the house I would just get into some kind of character. And, you know, and just try to put on a show. You know, my mom and dad would roll their eyes every now and then because they would have to turn off the TV and just kind of let me do my thing. But I was grateful that they let me do it and they were supportive.
I'm here knocking the door, man. True story. This is real love. I opened the door. My mom made me a bug catching net out of a wire hanger and an old pair of medias, her pantyhose. Yeah, I was out there. I was like, hey, hell yeah. I was out there with no shame in front of the white people. Like, yeah, you know? The little kid's like, what is that? I'm like, it's my mom's media. What's a media? I don't know, it's my mom's media. We're charting my bug catching territory. Sure, you know? Except my bugs were dying on impact. It was an old pair of pantyhose, you know what I mean? Just bzzz.
You've created many great sketch comedy characters, including one named Juanita Carmelita, alias JC. Can you tell me about her?
Well, yeah, JC, you know what time it is. But yeah, she's just, you know, spicy diva. Call her like a diva on a budget, you know. She kind of gets all her stuff. She gets all her stuff at Ross, and you know, but she makes it look so good, and right. in her eyes. but it's pretty much based off my mom. My mom's a very spicy, intense woman, but really positive, you know, filled with love, but also you don't want to get on her bad side, kind of thing. And Juanita Carmelita, JC, is an extension of that. A lot of her stuff is kind of with her boyfriend Peter, who's played by a friend of mine, Donnie Devanian, and it's kind of funny seeing their interactions. Peter, you ready to go or what?
Bye, Carmelita.
Excuse me, where are you going?
Me and Frank are gonna go see Black Panther.
Oh no, you're not. You didn't put it in the Google's calendar.
What? What's the problem?
If it's not in the Google calendar, it's not a real plan. My bad, Frank.
I'll tell you what is in the Google's calendar. It's you and me. You helping me pick out nail polish on Amazon, cabrón. Okay, I got a coupon. We have to use it today by midnight. Plus, you need to save your energy for the Brown Panther.
What does your mom think of your impression of her?
Yeah, she's cool with it. You know, every now and then you know, she'll talk some smack to me like I'm not like that. And I'm like, well, mom, this isn't straight up you. This is just, you know, this is a character, but you obviously influenced it. But, you know, sometimes she'll take it to heart and I kind of got to pull back a little.
But not too often. Most of the time she's on board with it, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, I just kind of do my thing. I'm not making her look bad, I don't think, you know.
No, I don't think so either. But I don't know your mom. But, yeah, I get the impression, yeah, it's a generous, it's a tribute to her, I think. Right. Yeah. Another one of your most famous characters is Creeper. And Creeper promotes an exercise routine called CholoFit. You got to tell us the story behind this.
Oh, yeah, man. So, yeah, Creeper is a, you know, an extension of my father. My father was old school. He just always represented that style, that culture, but like always had Dickies, his Dickies crease, his white tee tucked in. And then, you know, always drove a low rider, but always there for me, always driving me to Little League practice, and one of the most positive people that I know. And so Creeper kind of, you know, he's like a rehabilitated, you know, cholo, and he's in the thing. And we did a video called Cholo Whisper, actually, where he's rescued from the CRS, the Cholo Rescue Services, by a nice family, and they're having trouble with him, so they call him the Cholo Whisperer. And that video did okay. It got about 500,000 views, and people were like, oh, you got to make a part two. And I was like, well, what's the next step here? I was like, well, he's got to try to get a job. He's going to have trouble getting a job. And in Cholo Whisper, he was kind of doing some yard workouts in the backyard already. So I was like, oh, I know. He could teach a workout class in the backyard.
All right, and this one is a resistance workout. I'll need a volunteer. Hey, OG. Come up here, homie. Right here, we're gonna do a resistance workout where you have pleito with somebody. Like, hey, fool, like, you've been talking papas about my lady. I don't really like that right now. So right now, I'm putting my chest up on you, like I'm about to throw down, and then you get the resistance right there, you see? You already feel it. You feel it down here in your gluteus muscle minimus or whatever, and down to the calves. No disrespect, OG, this is just a workout. You know I got mad respect, though, homie. All right, you do that for about maybe a minute, because longer than that, then you really start to fight, and it's a trick.
You know, we put that up, and it just spread like wildfire. It was really like that. Like, we posted it. We're like, I knew it was funny, but I didn't know it was going to be that big. The next day I woke up and it was just like all these millions of views, and I'm getting messages from Australia and Thailand and all these crazy places. And it was crazy.
Yeah. That's great though. Your father, I guess, is probably okay with your impression of him, much like your mom is okay with your impression of her.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, my dad's super supportive. He's in the Cholo Fit video. We do the Cholo Metrics, the resistant workout. I'm like, hey, OG, that's my dad. That's my real father. Yeah.
Oh, I see. That's great. Good. Thank you for telling me that. How did you go about developing the Creeper character?
You know, after that first video went viral, I started, you know, because the first video I did as Creeper was 10 years, you know, so I had been working on him, trying to polish him up, finding his voice. And then when the Cholo Fit thing went viral, I really was like, oh man, people are drawn to his physicality and stuff like that. So I started watching a lot of old Buster Keaton videos, Three Stooges, Benny Hill, all those legendary old school, you know, physical comedians. Even Mr. Bean, he has a lot of silent videos that are hilarious. And so I try to watch that, you know, and try to draw from that, because there was a couple of other videos where I'm not saying anything. I'm kind of just like in a situation where I'm getting kicked out of a bar or something, and I'm just like walking around the guy and doing all these moves, these physical moves, and people loved it. And it was just like, you know, and the physical comedy is universal. And so there was a bunch of people around the world just drawn to it. And so I was inspired by that, you know, and I was like, oh man. So I really got into it. Even though I'm getting older, you know, I can only do so many cholo squats. I try to commit to the physicality and the physical comedy side of it.
Yeah, and that must be really gratifying to be able to make people laugh without speaking.
Right. Yeah. It's cool, man. I like it.
Yeah, I can imagine you would. Yeah. Your latest project is this very funny comedy series called This Fool, which is now streaming on Hulu. And you play a guy named Luis. How different is Luis from Frankie?
I mean, there's definitely a big part of Frankie in there, but I would say, I mean, there's definitely a lot of differences, though. Like, you know, I've never been to prison or anything like that. I've had, you know, when I was younger, I kind of got in some trouble, but that's, yeah, we'll pass that. But I was able to draw from, you know, I've had cousins, you know, fortunately, a lot of them got their act together and they're all about their family now. But they were, you know, in and out of prison as we were growing up. And so I kind of drew from them, and, you know, some cousins that are really funny and they're always in and out of jail. But you're like, oh, man, he went back to jail. You're just making me laugh yesterday at the barbecue. You know, it's like, so it's kind of like, I was kind of able to draw from that. Like, Luis is a nice guy, and he's funny, which is straight up me, Frankie, you know, there's a lot of my homies that comment. They're like, oh, man, you're just playing yourself. And I'm like, yeah, but I had a draw from this this side where Luis could be kind of a little bit intimidating sometimes, or just maybe like a loose cannon. Like, oh, what is he going to do? Kind of like a Joe Pesci kind of vibe to him.
Yeah.
But in Cholo form, like, yeah, he's funny and likable, but watch out. You know, he might do something crazy.
Right, so yeah.
I would say that funny, likable side is more of Frankie, and then that little dangerous side to him is more from my family and my relatives that have those experiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that Joe Pesci comparison. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah, I like that. The series was created by Chris Estrada, and he plays your cousin Julio. Can you talk about the dynamic between Julio and your character, Luis?
It's a lot of fun. Like, he's, you know, he acts like he's got his stuff more together than I do, but actually he's still living at his mom's house and I'm living there too, my aunt. Mm-hmm. And he tries to talk to me like, you know, he's the one that has his stuff together when really he's not. So, you know, and then Luis is very emotionally immature, so he's constantly poking fun at Julio. And so it's kind of funny because, you know, Julio's like, he can help. He likes to help everybody else, but he obviously can't help himself. And he keeps like keeping himself as the underdog and always getting kind of beat up emotionally by his on and off girlfriend. And then he has his cousin, me, just kind of always tearing him down, keeping him in his place. And so it's funny, man. It's a cool version of an odd couple that I see, because it's funny. It's real. In real life, our relationship is like that. Like, Chris and I toured for almost 4 years together, where he would be opening for me. And then we were always together, and he's like very like, you know, like, I'm all like, hey, what's up, guys? Positive vibes. And he goes, oh, man, people, we got to deal with them today. Or like, you know, so and that I think that a lot of that chemistry translates to on camera.
You know what they say? Laughter's the best Tylenol.
Don't you mean best medicine?
Is Tylenol medicine?
Yeah.
Well, then I think I got it right.
A bunch of our co-stars always comment on that. They're like, man, they're almost the same off camera because we're constantly talking smack to each other. But yeah.
One critic has described Luis as equal parts obnoxious and charming. What do you think of that description?
I totally agree. It's a man. He just comes off as so clueless sometimes, you know. But you're like, ah, man, you're still, you know, rooting for him in some way. Like, I'm never watching Luis. I'm like, oh man, like he's kind of like a likable dumb. You know, you're not like you're not like annoyed by how obnoxious he is or how clueless he is. You're just kind of like, oh man, you know, he's figuring it out. It's all right. But but yeah, I think that's a great wording on how to describe his character. Like, obnoxious and charming. Yeah. I haven't heard that yet, but that's right on the money.
Yeah. One of the things that makes This Fool so different from other comedy series is the way in which it features working class people in Los Angeles. How important is that to the success of the show?
Oh man, it was very important, because a lot of times it's, you know, it's hard to nail the authenticity on a show, especially when, you know, you were doing things like representing the working class and stuff like that. And our, you know, the ways that we grew up and the connections we have with people. But I think we, you know, Chris and the rest of the crew and all of us, even the, you know, some of the producers that didn't have the same experiences that we do, they were constantly checking in on the smallest details to make sure that this show felt authentic. And, you know, Chris, down to the wardrobe, even Chris's sister did the wardrobe on the show. And so everything was like to a T, and I think that really helps, you know, in the big picture of what we were trying to express in the show. And I think that's why people are so connected to it. Even if you're from a different background, whatever, when something is that authentic, you're still drawn to it. Like, oh man, these are real people. And so once you get them in there, then you could, the funny stuff just comes up pretty organically. It was fun to be part of that. They were constantly checking in about the details and the authenticity of the show. So, and now even walking around LA, there's so many people that are just day-to-day people. They're just, hey man, love the show.
That's great.
I feel like I grew up with you and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh man, when people say stuff like that, you're like, oh, we did it. We nailed it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mission accomplished. Most definitely. What do you think the show is doing differently in terms of the way it presents Latino characters?
To me, what stands out is all the messages that are in the show are kind of sitting there organically, you know. They're not like there's no like message or crazy message we're trying to shove down your throat, you know, like in a theme of an episode or whatever. Like, there's messages in there, but they're kind of just sitting in there where you see them, and they're kind of easier to take in, because for the most part, we just wanted to make something funny, you know, like just give people a chance at something easy to watch, just take it in, and we just want you to laugh, you know. We weren't trying to be like, hey, like, we're the voice of all Latinos, you know what I mean? We weren't trying to do that. We were just like sharing our story, sharing Chris's story, and being real and authentic and just being funny. Like, that was the main goal, just make it funny, man. And yeah. So when we did that, and you know, there are messages in there, but yeah, they're just kind of easy to digest the way we presented them.
Absolutely. You're not beating the viewers' heads over with the message. They're quite subtle, but they're
right,
there.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Michael Imperioli, best known as Christopher Moltisanti from The Sopranos, plays Minister Payne on the show, and he's the founder of the Hugs Not Thugs Rehabilitation Center for people like Luis who have been released from prison. What is it like working with him?
Oh, man, it was an honor. I actually was pretty nervous the first day, my first scene with him, because it was just him and I. You know, the producers try to play a joke on me. They kind of scared me. They go, hey, man, unless the camera's rolling, he doesn't like to be looked in the eye. And, you know, so, and you know, and I was like, they were like playing it serious. So I was like, oh, okay. Like, I didn't know. Maybe that's how, you know, I didn't want to take him off his game or his zone or whatever, whatever it takes to get him ready for a scene. So I'm walking up to him. He comes up to me. He's being cool. You know, he's like, hey, man, you want to run some lines and da, da, da. And I'm like looking all around, not trying to make eye contact. I'm like, yeah, sure, bro. Like, I'll run some lines. Like, and he was the guy looking at me like, what's wrong with this guy? You know, and I'm like, oh man, I'm sorry. They told me not to make eye contact with you. He's like, oh no, that's true. And then he slaps me on the back. He's like, nah, man, I'm just kidding.
Hey, Luis. You're not thinking about going to talk to your ex alone, are you? Because in situations like these, emotions can run really high and get in the way of constructive dialogue. I can help you get the ring back. Once upon a time, I used to manage a strip club, so this will be a cakewalk compared to that.
Damn, what kind of doctor manages a strip club?
Luis, I have square danced in towns you've never even heard of. Also, I'm not a doctor, I'm a minister.
Even after that first scene, he made me feel so comfortable and like kind of, you know, we come from comedy backgrounds and this guy's like an Emmy Award winning actor, you know? So it's like humbling and just dope and so cool that he was willing to he was giving me notes and, you know, complimenting me. He just really made me so confident and helped me, you know, dial in, you know, made me feel that I had Luis so dialed in and helped me get into a groove. Like the scenes we have together, we were just bouncing back and forth off each other. Even when I would like flub my lines, he would pick me up right away and just boom, like, all right, let's keep it going. Bah, bah. And we just developed this chemistry, and I owe a lot to that guy. I learned so much from him, and he definitely made me a better actor. So thank you, Michael. Love you, brother.
And he'll hear that because I'm sure he listens to the show. Yeah. So that's great. Yeah.
For
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Frankie Quinones, thank you very much for joining us. Congratulations on This Fool, your stand-up, and all the rest of your comedy.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Frankie Quinones is a comedian and actor. He stars in the Hulu comedy series This Fool. You can find out more about Frankie at wpr.org/beta.
And then she finds that when she gets through to 911, she's told that she can't get help if her emergency is regarding a male.
Coming up, what would it be like to live in a world without men? Sandra Newman gives us a pretty accurate idea in her latest novel, The Men. I'm Doug Gordon. You're listening to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio.